come out on this cool night. It's in Sydney, I only need one pair of socks, but when I come down here, I need two. It's just a little bit of a temperature difference. But as Trevor said, my parents are still on a farm, actually, down in Burrumbuddick, just north of Albury. My brother runs that farm, and I love to get down there whenever I can with our family. My whole family is saved and born again. And it's such a blessing when family members are following the Lord. And my heart goes out to people here, maybe here tonight, where you're still gathering your family. Don't give up, because it does come about. God's faithful. He answers those prayers. And I haven't always followed the Lord. I grew up in a traditional church and went there with my family, a local community church. But it was very traditional, and I guess I didn't relate well to the presentation that was there. And I think there was actually more to it than that as well. There was a Holy Spirit element that was probably lacking, to say without going too much into that. But I remember growing up, and I would say the Apostles' Creed. We would say, everybody remember saying the Apostles' Creed in church? So maybe some of the older people might. And when it got to the bit about the Holy Spirit, we would say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. That was it. That's all we said. The Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of... I still remember it, praise God. That's how many times we used to say it. But that was all I knew about the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know that the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And it's a long story, but I started to... I had a friend of mine who's a wild guy. His name was Neville. And we used to beat around the place and get up to all kinds of mischief. And God started to move on his life, and he said, I want you to come with me to this church in Wodonga. Doesn't matter which one it was. I said, well, what church is that? He said, well, it's a Pentecostal church. And I said, well, what's that? I'd never heard of one of them. And I'm thinking, it might be one of those churches that brainwashes you, you know, you get you in and... Never. My mum used to always say, when we used to go on holidays, we'd go through this in Myrtleford, there was some church or somewhere, she would point to that, she'd, don't ever go there, they'll brainwash you, she'd say. And I thought, well, my brain needs a good wash anyway. It was pretty rusty. And so he talked me, you know, I went along to this church. He said, there's lots of young girls in there, let's go. He said, all right, let's go. Anyway, the young girls that were there, was lots of young girls in there. There was a youth church that met on a Saturday night, but they all had their hands raised like this, worshipping God with their whole hearts. And for the first time, I found that I could enter into worship. They had music just like this. Changed my life. And they sang the songs over and over and over again, like, Fear Not, For I Am, you know, all those old songs. And I was singing those songs. I thought, well, these songs are all about Jesus. There's nothing wrong with this. But it's like more of Jesus. And I found myself for the first time ever in my life singing songs, singing, worshipping God out of my heart. Like with a loud voice, because the drums were going and the music was turned up. And otherwise I'd be just singing a hymn like this, sort of. But I could sing out. And that started to unlock something in my life that I wasn't even aware of. And a couple of weeks went by, and we would go back to that church, which met on a Saturday night, which was pub night. We should be at the pub on a Saturday, not in church. You can do that Sunday if you can get out of bed, you know, if you're not too, headache's not too bad. But Saturday night, because even though I grew up believing in Jesus, but yet my life was never transformed. In fact, I had no more conviction, no more ability to live right, no more control over the passions and all those things than any of my mates did who never went to church. The only difference between me and them is when I woke up on Sunday morning, I would feel guilty, and they wouldn't, because they didn't know any better. And I had a fear of God, and I knew that what I was doing wasn't kind of very much impressing him. And I said to my mate after about the second time we'd been in, he said, you know, I'm having more fun on a Saturday night going to church than what I ever had going to the pub. And that was a huge, because we used to have a lot of fun, you know. The Bible says that, that it talks about the pleasures of sin, that Moses turned away from the pleasures of sin, which gives you pleasure for a short time. And people go into lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God, not because they're actually fun. They actually do get pleasure from it for a season. It always has, there's always, the wrong sort of lifestyle always has a consequence. It has a flip side that comes around, usually the next day, amen, depending on what it is, but it will catch up. Anyway, I said, I'm having more fun in church than I ever had going to the pub. And for the first time in my life, I found myself doing something and having fun that God approved of. Up until then, every time I was having fun, I was doing something that I knew God never approved of. And it was I was at this one particular meeting. It was about the third or the fourth week in. They had a guest speaker come, I don't remember what he spoke. I don't remember who he was, to be honest. He's a guy from Melbourne, I think. And I don't remember what he spoke about, but at the end of the meeting, he said, if you're here tonight and you need to get your life right with God, I want you to put up your hand. And he said, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want you to put up your hand. If you're not born again, he said, I want you to put up your hand. And I thought, well, I've grown up in church. I'm okay. But yet in my heart, I'm just got this turmoil going on. Because I had all these issues in my life, I'm not going to put up my hand, not in front of all these people. I'm not going to do that. And the struggle went on, and the guy just lingered, and the different people were responding and putting up their hands. And eventually, out of desperation, I said, God, I can't put up my hand. Under my breath, I said, God, will you help me to put up my hand? And before I'd finished saying that prayer, my hand goes up. And the guy says, thank you, I see that hand. I went, oh no, he saw. And then he said, I want you to stand to your feet, everybody who's put up your hand. There was a bunch of people. And I knew nothing. All I knew was I believe in the Holy Spirit. That's all I knew. I knew nothing about spiritual things. I knew nothing about the power of God. I knew nothing about demonic bondage. I knew nothing about chains and all kinds of things like that that tie people down. But I can remember this like it was yesterday. It happened in 1990. I was 23 years old. And I can remember this just like it happened yesterday. As I stood to my feet, I remember thinking to myself, it feels like chains are falling off of my shoulders. And then it was the easiest thing in the world to do was to walk to the front of that church and to pray a simple prayer and to receive Christ. And I did that. And the guy who prayed for me said, is there anything else you'd like? And I thought, well, there is. I got some really big personal problems, but they're too personal to share like this. And so I said, can you pray for my work? Because you know how work goes through ups and downs, seasons. You know, you have a bit of a lull at work. And it was one of those low times. And he just prayed this blessing over my life. And it was like he knew. It's like he knew what I was going through, the way he prayed and the words he used. And so the next day came. And then Monday, I'm at work about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I am walking around, and it's like, the only way I can describe it, it felt like I was walking on air. It's like I was just lifted out of all of my hassles. All of the things that were heavy on my heart were gone. All the worries and the problems. It's just like I was living a different life. And God, as well as that, the real deep things in my heart that I didn't feel comfortable to share. The Bible says God knows the things of our heart, what we want, before we even ask. He knows. And those very things, those bondages that I had in my life that were bringing guilt and condemnation onto me, cycles in my life that I couldn't break no matter how hard I tried, I was instantly set free of all of those, from all the temptations and the urges and the ungodly things that I had going on, and I lived free. And I just got so on fire for God. We would go and we would start Bible studies in Culcairn, and we'd do Bible studies in Henty, and we'd do Bible studies in Aubrey, and we'd do Bible studies here. And my car would be driving somewhere every night of the week. My parents couldn't believe it. They were worried. My pastor was worried. What's this that Brett's got himself into? But my parents saw what I was doing. They saw me reading the Word of God. They saw my life changed. And instead of becoming worried, they too went along to that church and they all got born again as well. Hallelujah. Can we give God some praise? My brother and my sister, my whole family. And now we know the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friends, the Holy Spirit is the most wonderful person. He is Jesus himself. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, and it says this. It says the anointing, which is another word for the Holy Spirit, if you like. The anointing that you receive from him, him is Jesus. The anointing that you receive from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things. And as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as has taught you, remain in him. You see, instead of learning about Jesus, I now knew Jesus. I watched a documentary about the Queen of England here a few years ago. It was on SBS. And in spite of the fact that it was on SBS, it wasn't anti, it wasn't having a shot at her, it was just talking about her life. She's an amazing person. She reads every newspaper by midday. She spends the first 4 or 5 hours of her day reading every newspaper, so she's totally up to date with every current affair going all around the world. And she's just got all these meetings and protocol, and she's the busiest woman, even at her age, of anybody you could imagine. She's so dedicated to her role, whether you agree with the politics behind it all or not. That's just the way it is. And so I learned all these things about the Queen. It was quite amazing, quite interesting. But I've never met her. I could bump into her, and she's a stranger. See, I was taught these things about Jesus, but I'd never met him. I'd never met him. And once I met him, it's like I had this download of knowledge about him, because I might not have studied the Bible. I hadn't been to seminary. I would go and talk to my pastor, who was a really good guy. He was very open to the Holy Spirit and a knowledgeable man, well-read, and just a very intelligent guy. I would meet with him once a week. The local people in Burrumbuddick would see my car parked outside the pastor's house. I would never have done that once. Because what would people say? I think there's something wrong with this guy. He's meeting the pastor every week. He must have problems. Almost like being outside the police station, you know what I mean? But I would meet him every week. And he would listen. And I would just talk. And he would say, well, where did you learn that? I said, the Holy Spirit showed me that. And he'd talk about something. I say, and then there's this verse that says this and this. And he goes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're spot on. And the Holy Spirit teaches you about all things. And it says, just as it has taught you, remain in him. You see, the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life, all he does is reveal Jesus to you in a real and tangible way. I have people healed of the most amazing things. I was sharing this morning how I was up on the Gold Coast preaching in a Bible college, mind you. I haven't got any degrees, but I'm lecturing in a Bible college. Picture that. Why? Because I've been taught by him. I've also been to Bible college myself, but it was only a couple of years. It wasn't like 10 years of study and all this sort of thing. And I'm ministering in this Bible college on healing signs and wonders. And we had an open meeting on the Friday night, and bunches of people turned out. And this one woman comes to the front, and she was suffering with a condition called encephalitis. And that's like a swelling of your brain. And she'd been suffering with that condition for 31 and a half years. And she came to the front. And as soon as I laid eyes on her, I knew she was going to be set free. And I put my hands on her because I knew it was a demon. That's all it was, causing this condition. How do I know? I don't know. You just know. You just get a gut feeling, and after a while you get confidence in your gut feeling and you tend to go with that, and it just always works. I can be mistaken, but if I'm mistaken, well, then I just look silly. But if I'm right, someone gets blessed. Amen. God showed me when I started this ministry. He said, all you have to do is be more concerned for the person that you're praying for than what anybody thinks of you, and I'll heal them. See, we've got to put ourselves out there. There's always a risk. But, oh, my friends, it's worth it. it's worth it. You can't follow Jesus in your armchair. You've got to step out. Peter stepped out onto the water and he saw the power of God. And it's no different for you and I today. And this woman comes to the front. And I laid my hands on her and I said, "This, you spirit of infirmity, I break your power. You let her go now. Set her free. Holy Spirit, I release." And the power of God, before I could finish praying, the power of God hit her and she went to the ground. And she laid there for about 20 minutes as we went on praying for other people. And then she got to her feet and she came across. And I said, "What's happened?" And she said, "Well, I didn't tell you this, but 6 years ago I fractured my spine. I've got a fractured vertebrae in my spine and that gives me a lot of pain as well." And she said, "While I was laying on the ground, my spine was crunching. I was laying still, but my spine was going crunch, crunch, crunch." And she got up and she said, "Now it's healed." And she bent down, she could touch her toes, she could move freely with no pain whatsoever. And I said, "What about your head?" And she stopped and she said, "It's gone. It's completely stopped." She would have these exploding, constant pain, which is almost unbearable, 24/7, drugs wouldn't stop it. And then on top of that, she would have random explosions of pain shooting through her head, which was almost unbearable. She wanted God to take her. She was a Christian woman and she wanted God to take her home. She says, "I can't live like this." And often she would just be in bed all day. And now she's totally set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she wrote me this. I say that to say this. I need to find her testimony. I wasn't planning on sharing that. That's right. She wrote me this about a week later after this took place. This was a couple of years ago, by the way, and she's fine. She's one of my intercessors now. She's got a great prayer gift on her life. She says, "As spectacular as my healing from a fractured spine and 31 and a half years of explosive brain pain is since you prayed over me last weekend, perhaps the most memorable of all is the compassion of Jesus flowing through you." She felt the love of God. And then a couple of weeks later, 3 weeks later, she writes again. She says, "My friends and family are very excited about the new pain-free me. Every day I've been getting stronger and a whole new world has opened up to me. It's like I've just emerged out of a 31-year coma and have fallen in love with Jesus for the first time. Even being able to contemplate leaving my bedridden state each day is truly a glorious miracle. I can't stop worshipping and praising the Lord 24/7. Thank you for being such a powerful instrument in the hands of Almighty God," and so on. And she just blesses me. The thing that touched her more than the healing was the fact that God got into her heart. She encountered not a belief, not a religion, not some information, not a Bible reading. She encountered the Holy Spirit, which in turn means she encountered the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. I spoke to a man in a cafe just this morning after our Sunday morning service. Pastor and I, we went and had a coffee. You know, I'm still, you know, the Bible says that you'll drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. So I just use that scripture every time I go to McDonald's, whatever, it works for me. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not as holy as some people here. Anyway, pastor, he went there with me, so that makes it okay anyway if the pastor goes with you, doesn't it? Anyway, pastor and I, we had a coffee, and we bumped into these people who were in one of the meetings, and this guy that I prayed for, he said, "Can you tell me what happened to me?" I said, "Well, I don't know. You tell me." He said, "It's I'm a different person." He said, "It's just everything's changed. Like I just feel different. I don't know whether he had ever tried drugs, don't get me wrong, but he made this comment. He says, "I don't know what cocaine's like, but it can't be as good as this. It's just, my pastor's got a saying, he says, you get high on the Most High. And Jesus said, the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And I knew exactly what that man was going through because I went through exactly the same experience back in 1990 when Jesus touched my life. You become born again, you just like everything becomes new. It's the most incredible thing, and it stays with you. I was on a high for
for it felt like a couple of years. A couple of bad things happened, or not bad things, but, you know, trials and whatever. But, you know, I still got that same high on the inside of me. The same things are still exciting for me. The simple things of being with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to move into that more towards the end of this meeting. And I've got to be careful I don't take this meeting in all kinds of directions here. But Matthew, I want to speak to you tonight. That was an introduction. I want to speak to you tonight out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. When Jesus gave orders to the disciples, he didn't send them through 5 years of Bible college and 10 years of this and something. You know, I've found that God doesn't anoint the qualified. He qualifies the anointed. He anoints people and then they become qualified because they've met him. Meeting Jesus is all you need. Study is great, and I'm not talking against that. Don't get the wrong idea. But it can never replace meeting Christ and having your very own encounter with him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus said these words, as you go, preach. This was Bible school for his disciples. This was preparation. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. God put this as one of our foundation scriptures. He said, that's how I want you to run your ministry. You freely give everything that's in you to people, and you just allow me to bless you back through them. And that's it. It's as simple as that. It's the most wonderful way. We get to live by faith. We don't have to, we get to. We have to as well, but I don't look at it like that. We get to. It's the most incredible life. It's the most incredible life. As you go preach, saying the kingdom, what is the kingdom of heaven? You see, you've got to understand that there's two kingdoms at play all the time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. If God could open our eyes so that we could see into the realm of the Spirit, we would see all kinds of wrestling, all kinds of spiritual activity going on right here, right now, in this room. And many of us have got the same things going on in our homes of all kinds of... There's just stuff happening. However, we can't see. The kingdom of heaven is so real. In fact, Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, we do not focus on that which is seen, but on that which is unseen. For that which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. You can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you have a vision. Occasionally, doesn't happen lots, but it should happen more than it does, actually, because it's one of the promises of the last days that young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams when my spirit is poured out. But a vision is when you can see what's happening in the spirit realm. But for the most part, we can't see. You see, the difference between the kingdom of this world and the spirit world, or the kingdom of God, is that the kingdom of this world consists of all the elements. It's things that we can touch and taste and smell and hear and see through all of our five senses. We interact constantly with this world. However, you cannot interact with the kingdom of God through any of your senses. So people of unbelief will say, oh, I don't believe in God. He doesn't exist. That's not real. That's like me saying television signals and radio waves are not real. You can't tell me there's television signals coming through here. Where are they? I can't see them. Now, if you agreed with that, you'd be crazy, wouldn't you? How do you find the television signal? You just get a television, plug it in, tune it, and switch it on, and boom, there's the evidence of what you can't see on the television. The kingdom of God is just like that. Just because you can't see it makes it no less real. You just have to tune in. So how do you tune in if you can't see it, if you can't hear it, if you can't taste it or touch it? How do you tune in? Well, the first key way, there's like portholes that you can get through from this world into the kingdom of God. There's like certain openings that God has created for us where we can enter in. And one of the big openings, the first one of those big openings, is faith. Faith is how you see the kingdom of God. Paul said these words. He said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." He knew exactly what this was all about. He knew that he knew the kingdom of God backwards. He'd entered in. He'd crossed over. And he knew the only way you could do that, or one of the big ways you could do that, was through faith. What is faith? Faith, it's not hard. You don't need to read a book this thick or a volume this big to learn about faith. I can tell you in one sentence what faith is. Faith is simply believing. All you have to do is choose to believe in the reality of the kingdom of God, and you can begin to enter in. You just have to believe. You just have to believe. Now, the challenge with us, as particularly adults and intellectual people, is that we want to understand what's going on with it all. A child, when they believe, they just believe without understanding, without having to work it all out, without having to have that mental aspect of it all. And Jesus said, unless you believe like one of these little children, what? You will not enter the kingdom of God. You won't find the porthole through your intelligence. And that's, people say, well, why does God move so much in some of these poor nations and third world countries? Well, I think part of the reason is because they're not clouded with intellectual knowledge and intelligence and all the, you know what I mean? All the academia that we have. We base so much in our brain. The whole time I preach and minister and pray for the sick, I'm never doing this out of my brain. That's why my messages might jump around a bit, because I don't follow my notes. Because it's better when I don't, because then I'm preaching out of here. And Jesus said, out of your belly, John 7 verse 30 said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Faith is how you get into the kingdom of God. Faith is how you get into salvation. Faith is how you get your sins forgiven. Faith is how you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is how you get righteousness from God. Without faith, there is no righteousness. We walk by faith. We just believe. You believe that your sins are forgiven. It's the most amazing thing. And it begins to take place in your life. Another way that you get into the kingdom, that you cross over into the kingdom of God, is by the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we give an account. The word of God is a supernatural weapon that unveils Christ. Jesus himself is called the Word. The Word and the Holy Spirit move together all the time. Even if you go right back to the beginning of creation, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. There was chaos. There was nothing. And the Spirit of God was brooding, hovering over that chaos. And then the Word of God came first. The Word of God said, let there be a firmament in the midst. And then, boom, the Holy Spirit, by His power, moved and made it happen. And then the Word of God said, let there be light. And boom, the Holy Spirit kicks in and immediately begins to fulfill the Word of God. If you want to get a breakthrough in your life, all you have to do is get the Word of God in your life, begin to believe that Word of God, begin to get that Word of God, not in your Bible under your arm, but deep down on the inside of you, and you'll begin to see breakthrough. See, the Word of God doesn't work inside this machine. It's just a machine. Your book is a machine without batteries. Your Bible is one of these with no batteries. It's the old school version, which is fine. Doesn't have distractions. This has distractions, amen. Has little things that go off. Makes you want to look at Facebook and waste your time. Amen. The Word of God. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord in Psalms 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Oh, then the Lord, he goes on to say, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and he sees all mankind. From his dwelling, he watches all who live on earth. He who formed the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his own great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strength. It cannot save. See, there's the gospel right there. Doesn't matter what we've got going. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter what you turn to. The only thing that can save you is Jesus Christ himself. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death, keep them alive through famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust. We trust. There's the faith. We trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O God, even as we put our hope in you. We're not hoping in horses. We're not hoping in wealth. We're not hoping in the housing market. We're not hoping in the government. We're not hoping in our boss, where our paycheck's coming from. We're not hoping in the environment. We're not hoping in any of these things. We're not hoping for a new set of clothes. We're not hoping for a nice car. Our hope is in the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. That takes the pressure right off. You can never have your righteousness. That's called self-righteousness. His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All we need to do to break through in life is to turn to the Lord. And the Word of God is the most amazing porthole into the realm of the Spirit. You can't have just the Word of God in your device, under your arm, in a daily Bible reading. That's all fine and good. But it doesn't work until you've got it in your heart. The Bible says, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit at the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the Word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The way we get the Word of God into the inside of us is by meditating on it, by going over it and over it and over it. And God has put this on my heart for such a long time now. I've put together a collection of healing Bible verses. I've got others to come as well, but I started with a bunch of 45 healing, because I found that people would struggle. I would pray for them and they would sometimes struggle and the sickness would want to come back upon them, because And the reason why is because they didn't have a foundation. They didn't have the Word of God. They weren't tapping into the spirit realm. They were back. I'd pray for them. They'd get blessed. The pain would go. Sometimes they'd go home, and after a couple of days, it would start to come back. Because they'd gone back into their old humanistic, physical world, you know, with all their problems and everything else, without the Word of God in their heart. And so I put together a CD that people can download this CD into their computer, put on a CD-ROM into their computer, straight into their device, drag it all across, and every single scripture is on its own track. And you put those tracks on repeat. Or you can listen to them all sequentially. And you can put each separate scripture on repeat and listen to that scripture 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times. You can put it on while you're going to sleep. If you've got a friend who's sick in hospital, you can take it into them and you can put it on and just let it pray and saturate them with the Word of God for 8 hours a day. And the Bible says He sent forth His Word and healed them and delivered them from their distractions. And so I made it, and God said to me, He said, tell people they can take one of those CDs and you'd like them to just make a donation of any amount to your ministry. And so I've made those available on the table up the back there tonight. And so I haven't got that many left because the guys up at Leeton took most of them. But there's still a few there. There's 20 or so there. And at the end of this service, if you want one, just shoot up there and you just give whatever you feel on your heart to give. I've also got some forms there. Sometimes people get a heart for our ministry and they want to partner with us in an ongoing way. And there's forms there to help you do that. And Pastor Jeff will be there overseeing that, and he can answer any of your questions. But the Word of God is the most incredible porthole. But as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. And I'm starting to be convicted by my own words here, where God told me, He said, the less you preach, the more I'll heal. Amen. So who here tonight's come looking for a breakthrough? Who's come tonight looking to be set free? Looking to be set free in your bodies? Just give me a wave.